Whenever it's summer, have your fun. Dive in the nearest pool. Never go out in the midday sun. Just play it cool. Clothes will always be worn, of course. That is the golden rule. Lady Godiva on that horse, she made it cool. Be calm and collected. Look before you leap each day. Never do what's expected. At least never do it right away. Life is a challenge, so they say. It can be kind of rude. So be prepared in every way. It's not what you say, it's the way that you say it. Not how you play, it's the way that you play it. Play it cool.
How do you do?
This is Ian Carmichael saying welcome to another Play It Cool. You know, the other day I was taking a stroll through the countryside in Hertfordshire when I came across that rather well-known nudist camp. Now, what a beautiful place it is. Yeah, I was terribly impressed. I've got a large brick wall all the way around. I just couldn't get over it.
Well, I think I've heard of that place. Is it for men or women?
I couldn't tell, really. They'd all got their clothes off. But, you know, I just adore a... You'll have to be quicker than that. But, you know, I just adore getting away from the country. In fact, as soon as this series ends, I'm going off.
You've been going off since the series started.
Thank you very much. That once again was Mr. Hugh Paddock, an actor very famous for his leer at various young actresses.
Yes, Shakespeare's my real forte. My performances are always associated with the bard.
Bard? That's a funny way to pronounce B-A-D.
That was Miss Joan Sims, herself a devotee of Shakespeare.
Oh, yes, yes, a great man. Well, let's face it, who else has had a pub named after his arms?
Well, there you are. Those are the people I'm lumbered... That's the cast. And now to start our show this...
Wait, you can't come in.
I've got my rights.
No, no.
I've got my rights.
What on earth is going on over there?
Mr. Carmichael, it's this woman here.
Lady, if you don't know.
Well, you can't come in the studio.
Why not? Why not? I've got a ticket.
Yeah, but the show has started.
I don't care. You should have waited. Now, stand it down.
Madam, you can't
come in. Take your hands off me or I'll call the police.
Look, Commissioner, you'd better let her come in. There's a seat here in the front row, madam.
Well, that's more like it. Thank you, young man.
Not at all. Now, ladies and gentlemen, as I was saying...
Like a sandwich.
No, thank you.
There's sardine and tomato.
Not just now, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen...
My feet are killing me. Oh, I think I'll take your shoes off.
That's right, madam. Now, look, make yourself comfortable. For goodness sake, hurry up and settle down.
Oh, that's better. Ooh. Oh, now I better just loosen something else, because when I laugh... I know, if I can tell you. I've already gone through three pairs.
Yes, all right, madam, all right. Now, we wouldn't want any accidents to happen, would we? Now, may we continue, please?
Yes, yes, sir.
Thank you. Well, this week we've been conducting an inquiry into...
Wait.
Yes?
Where's Arthur?
Arthur?
It's Arthur. When's he coming on? Oh, he makes me laugh, Arthur does.
Well, I'm afraid we don't happen to have an Arthur.
What? This is the Arthur Haynes show, isn't it?
Oh, look, madam, this is not the Arthur Haynes show.
Well, I demand my money back.
So what are you talking about? The tickets are here are free.
Well, I still want my money back. Look, I came here to see Arthur Haynes, and Arthur Haynes I want to see. And that other young man who's with him, that Nicholas Parsons. Now, he's a nice young man, he is.
All right, all right. Madam, just for you, the Arthur Haynes show. All right, I'm coming. Yes, what on earth is it?
Your name Parsons, mate.
My name is Parsons, yes.
Oh, good, then. This is the right house. I say we've got the right house, Irish.
That we have. It's a right house, all right, so it is. It's a right house, all right.
Yeah, well, that's good. We got the right house, then.
Look, how long have I got to stand out here at the front door?
Ah, you're quite right, mate. It is a bit parky. Let's go inside.
My good sir, it happens to be 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yes, that's right, mate. I know that's right, because we heard Big Ben striking, didn't we? I say, we heard Big Ben striking, didn't
we, Irish? Yes, we did. We heard Big Ben striking, so we did.
Oh, well. Well, I suppose you better come in for a minute.
Oh. Nice place you got here, mate. It's a very nice place. It must be worth a few bob.
Now, please, it is very late. What do you want?
We come in answer to your advert.
What?
Yeah, advert, that's right. Well, you said you was looking for companions to share a villa in the south of France this year.
You have dragged me out of bed at 2 o'clock in the morning about that?
Well, we're very keen, ain't we, Irish?
Yes, we are.
I mean, him and me, we've never been to your Cap d'Antibes, and we thought we'd be out when you out, too. So we're here, mate.
Get out of my house!
Oh, there's no way to act towards a couple of mates put it to share a villa with you.
I wouldn't have two filthy, dirty old tramps like you within 100 miles of my villa. Now get out of my living room, out of my house, and out of my sight. Do you hear me? Get out! Get out! Get out!
Did you hear that, Irish?
Oh, I heard that all right. He called us a filthy, dirty tramps. That's what he did. I heard that all right.
Oh, well, you're a witness, then.
Oh, I am, yes. I'm a witness, all right, so
what
I am,
What are
yes.
you talking about?
Slander, mate, slander. That's what we're talking about, slander. That statement cost you a pretty packet, I can tell you. I mean, you can't go around calling people filthy, dirty old tramps, you know. I mean, just because we are filthy, dirty old tramps, I don't give you...
look, all right, now forgive me. I am a bit overwrought. Yeah. Let me put it this way. You're not quite the types I'm looking for.
Oh, so that's it, is it? The old class bit, is it?
Not at
I
all.
I was in the war, mate.
Oh.
See me medals, mate? I didn't get them for nothing, mate. What did you do in the war, mate, eh?
If you must know, I happen to be a squadron leader, Fighter Command, DFC.
Well, there's no need to use that sort of language, mate. I mean, I asked you a perfectly civil question.
Now, please. Please, my good man. I have got up out of a warm bed. I am standing here in my pajamas. It's cold, I am very tired, and I have to be up early in the morning. Would you please mind leaving now?
Not at all, mate, not at all. We was just going, weren't we, Irish?
Yes, we were. We were just going, that's what we were. We were just going.
Good. And, no hard feelings about the villa?
Oh, no, mate. No, I understand. I mean, if I'd got a villa, I wouldn't want to share it with the likes of you. when are you going?
The first 2 weeks of September.
Oh, that's a good time, mate. It's a very good time. Well, ta-da, mate.
Goodbye and good luck.
Well, we didn't get what we came for, did we?
Oh, no, but we will, mate. First 2 weeks of September, you see. Now, you see that window up there? It shouldn't be too hard. Up the drain pipe along the way.
And now back to our own show. And looking for an occasional man is Rosemary Squire.
I've got an island in the Pacific. And everything about it is terrific. I've got the sun to tan me, palms to fan me, and an occasional man. My little island is very lazy. If I should ever leave it, I'd be crazy. I've got papayas, peaches, sandy beaches, and occasional man. When I go swimming, I am always dressed in style. 'Cause I go swimming wearing just a great big smile. My little island is such a treasure, and in the cool of evening it's a pleasure. And when the hour grows later, what is greater than an occasional man? When I go swimming, I am always dressed in style. 'Cause I go swimming wearing just a great big smile. My little island is such a beauty, you may forget to heed the call of duty. But if you give the slip to your ship, miss your trip, take a tip and blame an occasional.
Now we come to a special feature for the ladies. I've just been browsing through some of these women's magazines, and honestly, ladies, the things you read. Gentlemen, just listen to this.
two pale, slender hands clasped firmly together, fingers feverishly entwined.
And that was only the knitting pattern. Mind you, it was a very interesting article.
This week, we're going to knit something really exciting. Angora braces. And you'll have ample wool for this if you just unravel last week's little failure.
Let's have a closer look at some of the features you're bound to find in a woman's magazine. Cookery.
A lot of my readers find difficulty in telling the difference between mushrooms and toadstools. Well, it's quite easy. You simply cut them up and use them to garnish a steak. Then eat the meal, go to bed, and don't worry. If you wake up in the morning, they're mushrooms.
Shopping around.
Hello. I managed to pick up a very smart little cocktail dress at Tibbenham and Peabody's this week. Thank goodness the assistant wasn't looking.
Competitions. Now, this week, ladies, a really thrilling competition for you. Now, imagine you had to entertain Cary Grant for the weekend in London. Just tell me on a postcard, in not more than 6 words, what you would show him.
In My Garden by Beverly Wynn.
As I look out of my study window, I'm greeted with a blaze of colour. Reds, greens, yellows, pretty little pinks and purples. That wretched woman's got her washing on the line.
Quizzes.
Now, here's rather an amusing little quiz to find out what sort of a girl you really are. Now, answer the following questions honestly. One, do you like men? Two, are you fond of a good time? Three, when you're out with a man, do you offer to pay for yourself? And four, are you easily swayed? If your answer to all these questions is yes, send me your name and address, would you?
Marriage guidance by an ex Harley Street doctor.
Anxious of Twickenham, this is quite a common problem. When two people have been married as long as you have, that first flush of love undergoes a subtle change. It turns into something more permanent. Hatred. But you don't have to worry, my dear. If you and your husband hate each other as much as you say, then at least you've got something in common. Now, if any of you have any special marital problems, write to me. In confidence. I do like a good laugh.
And then, of course, there are those serial stories. They start on page 7, continued on page 24 and 32, part of page 41, and eventually come to a breathless conclusion at the foot of column 6, just under the corset advertisement.
Low hangs the willow by Greaves Carton.
The story so far. Tall, handsome, bronzed, pipe-smoking Greg Maitland is in love with dark, petite, vivacious, snub-nosed Susan Grindrup, whose father, distinguished, graying, suave Sir Rodney Grindrup, has left his wife Helen and is in love with Susan's friend, slim, attractive, elfin-faced model Virginia Gilmore. Greg's friend, grim, hawk-featured Brett Carter, has been seeing pert, pretty Sally Hinton, whose sister Beth is in love with the Italian brickworker Rossano Pelozzi. Now, it starts to get a bit complicated here. Commander Timothy Purbright thinks that his fiancée, Caroline, has been meeting Count Orsini, but she thinks that Henry Grantham has taken her sister Marjorie to Paris to meet debonair rascal Pierre Dubois.
Now read on.
Deborah saw Graham going down the road, but once she realized what had happened, Graham had gone down the road. The door of the elegant Belgravia flat burst open, and Alicia came in her wide blue eyes brimming with tears.
Oh, Mark!
She murmured with trembling emotion.
What's happened to us?
Mark moved towards her and took her slender hand in his.
Nothing, darling.
He said, a faint wisp of a smile crossing his face.
Nothing.
He whispered with breathless passion as his hands groped round the thin, short silk of her umbrella.
Why do you ask?
He asked. Deborah uncoiled her legs and lit a cigarette. She inhaled deeply and then...
Mark, you're not being very fair to Alicia, are you?
She said quizzically.
I beg your pardon?
He interjected.
You know what I mean?
Deborah said accusingly. Mark was unaffected. He'd been to a council school. Purposefully, he knocked out his pipe into Deborah's outstretched hand. And taking Alicia in his strong, manly arms, he spoke.
Darling, he stammered. I'm so all alone. Wouldn't you?
Suddenly, his past swelled up before him. He remembered that he'd been an escaped convict. And for the second time in his life, he didn't finish the sentence. Just then, Deborah leapt up from her armchair.
No!
She muttered.
Who put that drawing pin on my chair?
She continued.
Was it you, Mark?
No.
He riposted.
Not I!
Ejaculated Alicia. Mark ran his fingers through his hair. There was a pencil in his hand and his face was drawn.
Look!
Shrieked Alicia. Mark turned to see that Deborah was standing there motionless, a revolver in her hand.
What are you going to do?
He queried. Answered the revolver.
What have you done?
Queried Mark. Deborah put down the gun, smiled reflectively, and turning to them both, she said proudly,
I have just shot the author.
One, two. One, two, three, four. Doop, doobie, doobie, doop, 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 doobie,
nothing's impossible, I have found. For when my chin is on the ground, I pick myself up, dust myself off, and start all over again. Don't lose your confidence if you slip. Be grateful for a pleasant trip. And pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and start all over again. Work like a soul inspired, till the battle of the day is won. You may be sick and tired, but you'll be a man by Sunday. Will you remember the famous men who had to fall to rise again? So pick yourself up, and dust yourself off, and start all over again.
Right. One, two. One, two, three, four. Doop, 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 doop.
No, nothing's impossible, I have found. For when my chin is on the ground, I pick myself up, dust myself off, and start all over again.
Don't you ever lose your confidence if you should slip. Just
be very grateful for a heavenly trip. And pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and start it all over again. You work and slave just like you're inspired, till the battle of the day has been won. You may be sick and tired, but you're gonna be a man, my son. Just you remember those famous men, they had to fall to rise again. So
don't you give in, just you wear a big grin.
Take a deep breath, you'll be tickled if dead. Just pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and start all over again.
Right. One, two, three, four.
You just gotta pick yourself up.
Thank you, the Mike Sam singers. Now let's turn our attention to the world of ballroom dancing and reveal some of the human drama that goes on behind the sequins.
We bring you the story of two champions who climb to the top with their own steps. A story entitled Around the Floor in 80 Ways.
My name is Flo Barnes. It's a common enough name, but then I'm a common enough girl. Dancing is my life. My story really starts one Saturday night when my girlfriend, Else, and me went along to the Palais de Danse, Cricklesmith.
Yeah, Flo, it's crowded a night, isn't it?
Yes, it's always the same when Victor Sou'wester is playing.
Yeah, that fella who was here with last time, that Bert, what's he like?
Bertie? Oh, he's not much of a dancer, but he sits out very well.
Now take your partners for a surprise quick step. The surprise is we're going to play a waltz.
Here, Flo, look at this chap coming across here.
Oh, yes, Latin looking, isn't he?
Excuse me, may I have this dance?
Oh, yes, of course. Delighted. Oh,
thank you. I think it's only fair to warn you that I'm really rather good. you dance quite well, Miss...
Barnes. Flo Barnes.
Oh, really, I'm Fred Binks.
Are you a professional?
No, I'm a garage mechanic, really. But I spend all my spare time dancing.
Oh, so do I. I love dancing. It helps you to stand on your own feet. Mr. Binks, I must say you're very immaculate. Not a hair out of place. How do you keep it so smart?
Well, I've been under a leaky car all day. Miss Barnes,
Stay right where you are, ladies and gentlemen. You might be the lucky couple.
Oh, look, Mr. Sou'wester's coming straight towards us.
Congratulations, you two. You've won the spot prize.
Well, what for?
Being the spottiest couple on the floor. Well, my dear, I must say your dancing is excellent. I've had my eye on your chassis all evening. You should consider exhibition dancing.
Yeah, what about me?
Oh, you made an exhibition of yourself, too. Carry on dancing.
Miss Barnes, I've just had rather an interesting idea.
Oh, I'm sorry. I promised to go home with Else.
Yeah, no. You misunderstand me. Look, why don't we team up and enter for dancing competitions?
Oh, Mr. Binks, what a marvellous idea. Who knows? We might become as famous as Sid Gherkin and Edna Plumfield.
Then it's agreed?
Yes.
Good. Come on. Let's go and make our plans over a cup of cha-cha-cha.
Oh, I hope we'll be successful.
I'm sure we will, but there's just one thing that worries me.
What's that?
Who on earth are Sid Gherkin and Edna Plumfield?
And so that night, a great partnership was born. And soon the magic names of Fred Binks and Flo Barnes began to make dancing history. Within a year, we'd won 12 trophies, 6 cups, and a special award for originality in the St. Bernard Waltz. Fred wore a barrel round his neck. Then came the most important event of all, the All England Amateur Ballroom Championship. Oh, I shall never forget that night.
You look beautiful tonight.
Thank you, Fred. Do you notice anything different about my hair?
Yeah, you combed it. You know, Flo, I've been thinking. Couldn't you and I get married? Oh, Flo, can't you see the difference it would make to our lives?
You mean...
Yes. Instead of having our trophies for 6 months each, we'd both have them all the year round.
Oh, Fred.
All right, everybody. Everybody get your dancing shoes on. All hands to the pumps. Mr. Bunks, here's your card. You're number 35. Right, all competitors on the floor, please.
Come on, Flo.
Oh, shall be a minute.
Hurry up, please. Mr. Sou'wester is waiting.
Oh, dear. Look, Flo. Quick, Flo.
Coming.
Well, Flo, down to two couples. Number seven and us.
Fred, you're not grinning. That's better. Come on. Let's dazzle them with a double reverse flip, a feather fishtail and a running glide.
Yes. Mr. Sou'wester's about to say something.
Come in, number seven. Your time's up.
Oh, Fred, that means we've won.
Well done. Oh, it's you. Oh, I say, how pretty you look. Oh,
thank you very much.
Not you waltzing, Matilda. Miss Barnes, as you know, I run several dancing studios, and as it happens, I have a vacancy at the Potter's Bar Studio.
Oh, Mr. Sou'wester, we'd love to.
We? I'm afraid there's only room for one.
Oh, well, I'll be very pleased to,
It's Flo I want, Mr. Binks. Well, my dear?
Oh, I couldn't. It would upset Fred.
Oh, come now, that's not the attitude. To get on in dancing, one has to tread on a few toes.
But you can't split us up. It would, well, it'd be like coming between Jewel and Morris.
Well, Flo?
No, I'd like to, but...
All right, Flo. That's how you feel. I won't stand your way.
Good, then you can start on Monday.
Well, Fred, it looks as if our partnership is at an end.
Yeah, it's over, Flo. Goodbye, my dear. Goodbye and good luck.
Goodbye, Fred. Well, Mr. Sou'wester, everything's settled then.
Yes. Just one thing that worries me.
What's that?
Who on earth are Jewel and Waters?
And so I taught dancing for Victor Sou'wester. But after a while I became restive. Something was wrong. I didn't know what, and then one afternoon... Back together for... Oh, look, do you mind if we sit down?
But why?
Your feet are killing me.
But I protest. I've only had 15 minutes, but I certainly shan't come here again. In future, I shall go to the Arthur Surrey, the Too Good to Hurry School.
More trouble, Miss Barnes. Honestly, that's the 10th customer you lost this week. What's the matter with you? Your feet aren't in your work.
I'm sorry. I don't know what it is. It's just that, well, dancing isn't the same somehow. Who put that record on?
I did.
Fred! Oh!
Flo, it's been a long time.
I know. What have you been doing?
Oh, usual round of the dance halls, you know. Keeping up with the Paul Joneses.
Oh, Fred, I've missed you.
I've missed you, Flo.
And if you just tuned in, you haven't missed a thing.
Flo, life's been so empty without you. It's been torture dancing by myself. What, you been my partner again, Flo? For life.
Oh, yes, Fred, yes. And so we were reunited, and once more the great team of Fred Binks and Flo Barnes danced again.
And today, wherever ballroom dancing is practiced, you will hear people say of them,
who on earth are Fred Binks and Flo Barnes?
That was Save Cool, another sort of radio show which involved Ian Carmichael, Joan Sims, Hugh Paddock and Gordon Fane. The cool music was provided by Rosemary Squires and the Mike Sam Singers, who were accompanied by the Ken Thorne Organ.